to, please.
Virgin salvation, most beloved.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus at the closing of the day. We have been in church from the morning, different classes, different activities, and different people that were blessed, and others who move out and bless others as they have a second service there in Pacific Hill. And we thank you, Father, for the ability to move from our church to another location and be able to have another service in the afternoon. Thank you for the classes, for the rehearsals, for the activities, and for the studies of this afternoon. And now we pray that as we close the day with another two or three verses on the book of Revelation, our heart be comforted that God is in control of this world. And when the end will come, then God knows what to do about it. But one thing we need to be aware of is that events and things happen till God comes in our way. So we do not panic. We have hope in God and trust in Him. Bless us as we study together. Bless those who are listening via internet, and later on those who look in the cassette, CDs, and the internet as well. In Jesus we pray, amen. We enjoy to let you know what is your favorite song for this evening. I know that Brother Blika preached today in Pacific Hill. And if you have been in Pacific Hill, anybody knows the number of Pacific Hill so that I can register on the
49.
Wow, that was a good crowd. I'm glad. And Brother Lee Prater is doing something, and he's going to be in Pacific Hill on the last Sunday rather than today. So we thank the Lord for that. All right, now you have a song in your heart that you want to tell me, and you just tell me. Señorita Tricia, little one, yeah. Jesus loves me. Okay, now all the young people are awake. Before I put them to sleep with Revelation, come in, all the young people. Jesus loves me, yes, I know. 440, no. For what? 79 or something like that. 479? 479. Jesus loves me. Watch out with the computer. All right. Let me protect my baby here. Yeah. All right. Here is the choir. The little ones here in the front. History will reveal. 20 years from now, I'll be dead, but you people will have these pictures together. All right. Here we are. Okay.
Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. Jesus.
All right, I can see the excitement. And we miss one over there who stayed with Grandpa Russ over there in the back. And we're going to mark him in the black book. All right. Tell me what's on. Yes, Andrew, please.
Number one.
Super intelligent boy, number one. I know. Anything you like and the pastor like is intelligent. All right. Number one.
grace. What great grace? Then your grace, grace.
3, 3, 4.
3, 3, 4. Then shake your hand. 3, 3, 4. Okay. 3, 3, 4.
Just so excited, and the Baha'er listened, trying to learn English. Poor fellow with my English, but he's trying to learn English and looking into the. Before we did that when I was young, trying to learn different languages in shortwave radio, and then you try and listen to people. I listen to America, listen to Germany, and so on. And now the internet has become the tool, and I don't know why he looked in religious affairs. But he just sent me another chat. He said, they love the music. And he said, please don't send me a Bible yet until I find out how to send it, because they will kill me if I have a Bible. So look at all the Bibles that we have all around.
You know something?
We're free in America. All the Bibles, but if we leave God out, this is where it makes a government that despises God and takes away the Bible. So this is a great son, a mighty fortress is our God. Luther has expressed it, and he put the 37 theses on the castle and signed it. He has to run for his life because they want to kill him. They want to destroy his life. And he hide. And you think, a poor guy. No, he wrote the German Bible. He wrote the German Bible. Never rest. The fellow he used it for the Lord. Number 36, a mighty fortress is our God.
Hospital to praying. I know everyone here prayed for Joel. Helping out, you know, for the funeral. I know Greg and Mary, you guys did a lot. Singing, Shelly and the kids, and for Pastor for speaking, and for everybody else that I didn't mention that, you know, that helped out with Joel. I just can't thank you enough. It's been a real help for my sister, and it's really helped her, you know, transition into, you know, losing her partner. So I just wanted to thank everyone.
Thank you, Victor. And it was a time of witnessing and rejoicing as the Word of God was shared and people were able to listen. You never know. It's just putting seed. You never know when they're going to come in. All right. Now I have a hand. Bill, yes, sir.
Number 38.
And I really love what you wrote in a little booklet that your daddy showed me about fathers. You are a very, I told you should be a doctor, a very intelligent fellow. And I'm going to put that idea in your head until you become a doctor, okay? joyful, we adore you. A very intelligent fellow. All right.
Oh,
carefully every Sunday night, and thank you for the songs who we enjoy and treasure ourselves. In the evening service, we are studying the book of Revelation, and we go very slowly like a turtle, and we get this book the best we can in the understanding and in the wonders of God's Word. The book of Revelation. As we study the book, I remember I taught you that this is, I'm getting so hot here. I'm going to get the full glass of 55 so that I can breathe. All right, here we are. The book of Revelation is not hard or difficult of narrow. Chapter 1, verse 1 said the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did God lie then? You know, God did not lie. This is a revelation, and is a revelation of Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, we have a full revelation of Jesus Christ. Which Jesus? The one who was born in Bethlehem, or the one who is resurrected? The answer is the one who is resurrected. Then in chapter 2 and 3, we have a revelation of Jesus in the church, and we have seven churches as the characteristics of the type of churches you will find through the centuries in the world. Then chapter 4 to chapter 19, we have the revelation of God's agenda, how God is going to develop his history, which is already done in God's mind, and how he is going to put everything together till the end really come. And so when we studied chapter 6, that was the heavy story, because the horses, there are four horses that came into the picture. And verses 1 and 2 is page 1 in God's agenda. And as you know, there is a white horse conquering to conquer, a picture of the victorious proclamation of the gospel. A tremendous victorious proclamation of the gospel doesn't have limitation, except in Matthew 24:14 tells you when ends. They said, and the gospel of this kingdom should be preached, and then the end will come. Doesn't say the day, doesn't say the season, said the gospel will be running on to the very end of the world. What a great job that we got, okay? Revelation 6, verse 3 and 4, page 2, in God's agenda, the next horse, the development of an antichrist. That is also together with the remarkable work of the gospel in the kingdom of God. This is a group led by Satan and his angels to disturb, to distort, and to destroy the work of our mighty God. And Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6, we have page 3 in God's agenda, and is the progressive revelation of an imperfect world. Remember, business is going to be fantastic, but it's going to be controlled. 25%, we study, of the world population is controlled by some kind of people on evil hands. And so it's not, there is no food. Food is plenty in the world, but if God had allowed this to happen, the food is controlled by evil people, and so you may have food or you may not have food, and so on. Then Revelation 6, verse 7 and 8, page 4 in God's agenda was last Sunday. It is the hour of the sovereign of the world. God is in control of every event, every circumstances. Nothing surprised God. Nothing comes into this world like the news and the night. And you say, oh, look at that fire. Or look at what happened. Or look, the prices are going up in gasoline or whatever. God doesn't have any surprise. He is the sovereign of the world. He's in control. And he is letting things happen according to his pace. All right? Now, we go into tonight. So we're going to read it. Revelation 6, verse 9 to 11, page 5 in God's agenda. And you know what I do? I read the scripture, and then I try to find out what the scriptures say. Because we cannot invent it. We have to read it. Okay, I read it for you. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls, means the persons, of those who have been slain from the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cry with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth. Verse 11. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. All right, let's review what we read. Number one, you look in verse 9, and these souls, which are people, soul is not just a ghost on the air, it's a person. A spirit will be a ghost, but this is a soul. That's an individual, a person. Remember when God made man in Genesis 2:7, he said he formed man out of the dust, and he breathed into his nostrils the spirit of life, and he became a living soul, a person. All right? So those souls are under the altar. We'll talk in a minute again about it. But they're under the altar. No, they are not loose in any place. Do you remember in Israel when they had the tabernacle and there was an altar? The altar was the center presence of God. And everything under the altar was covered by the cherubims, which was a symbol of Christ Jesus covering us with his grace. So these persons are not loose or wandering in what the Catholics call it? Purgatory. They are not waiting where they go. They are under the altar. Amazing. All right. Number two, they are slain for God's word and the testimony, according to verse 9, of those who have been slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. In other words, these people who are there in person, they are there because they believe the word of God and they gave testimony of the word of God, and somewhere they became dead. Now they are crying for justice in heaven. Look at verse 10. And they cry with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? How long will take it, they said, until you really come down and put those people where they belong to? All right? Then God intervenes, and they are given unto them white robes. So look at verse 11. Then a white robe was given to each of them. Wow. To each of them. Was not a tent, white tent over them. Was a white robe to each one of them. And then God assured them of justice. Look at verse 11 again. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer. They're not on the fatigue or on a jail. They said, just rest a little longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who will be killed as they were was completed. You know what God's saying simply is, until the number of the elects are saved, then you stay here. Don't panic. Justice is coming. Justice is coming. But please, don't try to accelerate my plans. And those who need to be saved will be saved. It's just the people on earth, the Christian, keep on preaching the gospel, the word and the testimony. And you are here safe. You're under the altar. And to be sure you are saved, you're covered with a robe. So, my friends, don't get excited. Don't get ideas in my plan, say God. I'm the sovereign God, and I'm doing justice soon to you. All right? I want to take each one of these points and make a comment on them. Now, this is what the Bible says. Page number 5, God's developed these amazing things, a picture of heaven and a picture of earth. A picture of heaven, those who die in Christ, they are not in purgatory, they are not dancing someplace, they are covered by the blood of Christ and the altar, and they are with the robe of righteousness, and they are saved. We have no doubt that if you die in Christ, remember that passage in Corinthians, the absent from the body, present with the Lord. No intersection. All right? Okay, let's go one more. I want to take one of the points one by one. Number one, God has a place for those who are faithful unto death. All right, there is a J over there that came into the picture. And the death. And so let's take a look. Matthew chapter 16, all right, in verse 25. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You see that? Those people are in heaven. They lost their life because of God. Remember, they are talking, this first point is talking about verse 9, that I'm going to read it again from Revelation to you. And in verse 9, so he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the soul of those who has been slain. So they lost their life because of the gospel. In Matthew 16:25, clearly said, whosoever desire to save his life. And we have no idea, but in the 1700, people were cremated on the altar for believing in the Lord Jesus. They were executed, they were burned on the altar. And if you want to save your life here on this earth and deny the Lord Jesus, then you lose your life in heaven. But if you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is secure. I invite you to look at Luke Gospel, chapter 9, in verse 23. Luke Gospel, chapter 9, in verse 23, in reference to the same issue. Then he said to them all, if anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You cannot have both worlds. Either you have Christ or you have this world. And if you have this world, don't count it to be in heaven. But it's very, very tremendous, the impact of that verse 9 to me when in Revelation 6. He said, I saw under the altar the soul of those who have been a slave for the word of God and the testimony. In other words, if you do not stand for Christ here, if you're ashamed of Christ here, this is what is going to happen through the world. And in the Bible, we have a case in Titus that Demas, say Paul, left me because of the love for the world, said the Bible in Titus 4:10. Demas left me for the world. We already have a case that said, no, I saved my life myself. And if you save your life, you're going to lose it. That's how clear it is. In the passage of Romans chapter 12, which we really know by heart, Romans 12, 1 and 2 is the passage that section of the scripture is teaching. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And look at what the Bible said in verse 2. Remember Revelation 6, 9. Those people die because they stand in the word of God and they give testimony. And look at what God said to us. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We cannot let the world come in our way, because then there's a big question mark about our salvation. If an individual remains in the world and cares for the affairs of the world more than for the affairs of God, there is a big question mark about our salvation. We need to be sure that our heart is in the Lord and not in the world. All right, so point number one, God has a place for those who faithfully serve him unto death. And it takes courage to serve the Lord. Take the ability to say no to yourself, not to the temptations of the world, and to be firm in the way of God. And you have plenty of examples in the Bible. Daniel was one of them who said clearly no. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was another who said clearly no. We will not bend to the world. And I mentioned this morning Mordecai, who said no, I will not bow to the world, I will do what God said. And those people have a place in heaven, say God. Now, number two, the slain martyrs are slain for two things. Do you notice in Revelation 6 and 9, they said they are slain for the word of God and for the testimony. For the word of God and for the testimony. It's amazing. 2,000 years has passed and people are still on the same problem. You mention the Bible and they think you are crazy, and you testify about your faith and they still think you are crazy. Now, this is not new. This is all as 2,000 years old. If you go with me to 1 Thessalonians 2:13, I choose this verse because some people said, well, we know the Old Testament is the Word of God, but the New Testament is not the Word of God. Where in the Bible the New Testament said is the Word of God? Right here in 1 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 13. Look at what the Bible says. For these reasons, said the Apostle Paul, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcome it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who live. So when the Thessalonians received the words from Paul, they never thought the word that they were the words of Paul. They thought they were the word of God. And that's important that you understand that already 2,000 years ago, the New Testament have claimed. And the Apostle Paul, at this time in the year 75, has in his hand the whole book of James and one of the Gospels. And so they were slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony. If you go with me to 1 John, in chapter 2, the Bible will speak about it. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 22 and verse 23. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As we share the life and my trip to Las Vegas, over and over the topic of Christ came in. And my passenger said, well, Jesus was a great man. And Raquel will insisted that Jesus is God. So, well, we all have different opinions in this world. And in America, we're entitled to different opinions. To me, he was a man. And to you, he's a God. There is no choice, ladies and gentlemen. The testimony is one. It's either Jesus a devil or Jesus is God. One of the two. It's not in the middle. To say that Jesus is a man is just in the middle. And Jesus as a man cannot do more than what you and I can do. But when you read Philippians chapter 2, and you see that he humbled himself and left his glory and became became like a man, then you understand the fullness of the testimony. Simple testimony. It's not that you have to preach a lot. When you work and you are honest with your work, you're giving a testimony, all right? When you speak to your wife the truth, you're giving a testimony. When you speak to your neighbors the truth, you're giving a testimony. When you are kind with people, you're giving a testimony. And that's what the people hate. God said, this is what they hate. And God said, they are martyrs here because they share the word and they were nice, kind people and testify about God. So in the world, you will have tribulation, said the word of God. And this is a very truthful statement because students, if you share as a student the word of God in the school, I'm sure, there will be causes. I lectured in San Jose State College years and years ago, about 15 years ago, in the psychiatry class. They have me for one module every year, and I brought the word of God. And I remember talking about the resurrection and all of this, and there were professors over there also who lectured, and they said, well, what a nice opinion Dr. Otero had. What a nice opinion. And some of the students who were believers said, this is no opinion, this is the word of God. You know, they like that kind of, and it was like a riot, the class, you know. I'm very happy. And I said, well, the fact is that after death, we will know it was an opinion or was truth. Well, we don't talk about that, you know. When you are young, you don't talk about that. But the class was good. People were outside in the windows, and they followed me around. And they said, well, in America, we can speak everything. And they brought me as an example. Here's a radical who can speak about the Word of God. And here's another radical who speak against the Word of God. See, we're Americans. We're okay. No, we're not okay by doing that. We give a testimony that Jesus is God. The salvation is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, period. We don't doubt about that. We clearly said we don't baptize babies to make them saved. We baptize people to testify, Jesus washed my sins away. You know, and people say, well, there are different kinds of things. No, sir, there are not different kinds of things. That's why there are so many denominations. Everybody likes to start something. Not everybody who preaches the gospel is the true gospel. And so God tells you that there are people dead in heaven already because they testify on the truth divine of God. Number three, the slain martyrs cry out for justice. And I found in Psalm 94 an interesting statement. Psalm 94. In verse 4, Lord, said David in Psalm 94, verse 3, how long will the wicked triumph? It looks like it, you know? A neighbor who's a crook, he has more things than you have. Somebody who is not a believer doesn't get sick so often as we do. You know, if you move your head away from you and you look in the panorama of life, you can find unbelievers who really prosper more than you and I prosper here in this world, really. David said, Lord, how long will the wicked triumph? They utter his speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. And so the martyrs cannot take it, and they cry with justice. My brother, we need to cry for salvation. We need to have mercy. And you know, sometimes you get so uptight, you say, I have it. And then we blow up. But that's not the way. The way is that we cry for salvation, we cry for justice. Number four, the slain martyrs are given white robes. In verse 11 in Revelation 6, it said, then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little longer. So if you look your Bible in Isaiah 61 and verse 10, Isaiah 61 and verse 10, you will find the answer to that expression of a white robe. Look at what the Bible said in Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. God has covered us with his garment of salvation. It's not an actual garment, is the gospel who has been put in our heart, sealed in our heart. Remember Ephesians 1:13, after you hear the word of truth, the gospel, your salvation, and after you believe, you were sealed with the gospel of God. And because you were sealed with that gospel, that covers you. That covers you. Not too long ago, I received a question about the number 666, and we should be wonder about it, because now you can put a chip in the animals and know where your animals are in the farm, and now they are trying to put chips on people who are Secret Service and so on and know where they are. They said, would they do this to us and put the chip in the front head with the number 666? I don't know what they're going to do, but I tell you something. We are already with a chip inside. It's the Holy Spirit God has placed it at the moment of salvation, and he has covered us with his wonderful righteousness, and there is no way people can take it away. I don't care how many things they do to us physically, nobody can take away the seal of the mighty God. So the Lord tells the martyrs, it still be a little while before the end of the world come. Remember verse 11. So he said, just relax. I'm in control. I know when to move the torque. I know when to bring a tsunami or not. I know what to do. It's not our job to wish and to determine the end and the justice. Our job is to bring the gospel and to witness word and testimony. Then, Revelation 6, 9 to 11, page 5 in God's agenda. This is what I learned. The question is not whether or not the end will come. It is coming. It is coming. And I encourage you to read 2 Timothy with me in chapter 1 and verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. This is what the word of God has said. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. He's talking about Onesiphorus, a brother, and he is saying, may the Lord find mercy of the Lord. And that's what we need. We need to be sure that we have found the mercy of God in our life. Now, if you go way back in the to the back of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21, and in verse 5, you read these precious words. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write these things, these words are true and faithful. My brother, God is in control of timing. And what Satan puts in the hearts of people, they want to find out timing. And if you and I try to find out timing, you and I will find some timing. No, God's timing, we just find some calculations of our own. And we are even so stupid to believe it and to cause chaos around the world and around believers because we give an information which is false. The only true information is the end is coming. That's the true information. The end of the world is coming. Judgment day is coming. That's true information. But don't put days. And don't put events. Don't say because of this or because of this. You said because God says so. And God is in control of the whole world. He's showing to us. And believers in heaven and believers here, they worry about it. And of course, it's part of our humanity. It's part of our ingenuity. We want to know. We want to create. We want to find out. And God keeps certain things to himself. Boy, I think escaped from my mind the verse. Is that Deuteronomy 29:29, who said that secret things belong to the Lord? Let's look on it. Let's see. That will help all of us to be peaceful. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. Yeah, here it is. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of these laws. So don't dwell in things you don't know and you cannot find in the Bible. Don't dwell in the secret things of the Bible, but there is no secret. The only secret is that God's not going to let you know all the things about him. He kept something for himself. Now listen, you grew up in family. Your father never told you the whole story of their life with his wife and his work and so on. You knew just part of his story. You knew that daddy comes at 5 o'clock from work and you eat and there is money on the table. You don't know your daddy have a hard day or a bad day. Maybe you find out because you want to play and your daddy said no, not today, and you wonder why. But, you know, when we are children, we only know part of the story. Parents know the whole story. And we are children of God. And we know part of the story. The story that God revealed here in the Bible. Well, we don't know. We don't have to worry about it. He's in control. but mankind trying to make the book of Revelation a mess. And God is saying, in this section, in this section, in this seal, and this is not the seal, this is just the covering that is broken. We're going to see the seal in detail inside when we go to chapter 7, 8, and 9. But here, God opens just the covering, the ribbon of the seal, and said, now what is inside is this, that the end is coming. And we should be happy because, listen, just a few minutes, I share a few minutes with Mike. I was talking to him, so I shared a few minutes with Mike about Revelation. And Mike mentioned some numbers and so on. And he said to me, I know the end of the world comes to me when I die. Isn't that true? Thank you, Mike. That's good. I know the end of the world comes to us when we die. And if we don't die, what happened to us then? If the end of the world come? Anybody know? What's going to happen? We go airmail to God. All right? And Dr. Schaefer used to say, Levine Schaefer used to say, you know, that great philosopher, I had the privilege to take his classes. He said, ladies and gentlemen, we go to heaven subway or airmail, he said. But we go to heaven. Be sure you go to heaven. He said to all the seminary students, be sure you go to heaven. Be sure you go to heaven. Subway or airmail, doesn't make a difference. But be sure we go to heaven. That's really Revelation 6. Be sure we're a child of God. Leave the rest in the hands of God. Thank you, Father, for the lesson tonight. Give us peace about it. Give us self-control. And make us people mature, dwelling in the most important thing, sharing the gospel with other people, testifying with our life, living testimony of the beauty of God. Bless the young people, bless us adults, and bless those who are a little older, that we may still remain happy and blessed by your presence. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, care for those who have need. I plead for my brother who has an emergency in a hospital and a bad situation, a very difficult, critical life situation. And I pray, Lord, as I received the news this morning, I was a little down when I came to the service, but your word encouraged me. And I pray that you will help him and those who are around him to get out of the situation. In Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen.